If you could open God's Word to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 21 and end at 28. Matthew 16, 21 through 28. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, you are a hindrance to me. For you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly I say to you that there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Father, we thank you for your word this day. Your word is truth. We ask, Lord, now that your Spirit would illumine us. Cause us, Lord, for your Spirit to shine his light upon Jesus Christ and upon the truth of the gospel. And Father, cause the meditations of our hearts now and the words of my mouth to be acceptable in thy sight through Jesus Christ. Amen. The Apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth, and he says there, no matter how many promises that God has made, they are yes in Jesus Christ. And through Jesus Christ, Paul says, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. It's okay to say amen here. No matter how many promises God has made, and there are many, they are all yes in Jesus Christ. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, has given us, his church, many promises. And in these past weeks, we have opened up the treasure chest of Christ's promises, and we've taken out a few of them and have unpacked them. I will build my church. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Go and make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you, even to the end of the age. And now this morning, we come to this promise in Matthew 16, especially verse 25, where Jesus says this, "For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Jesus never hid the cost of discipleship. He put it out there. He wanted us to know up front that following him is costly. What does it mean to deny yourself and to take up your cross? These words were taken literally when Jesus said them to his disciples, because at that time, in his day, the cross was a symbol of death. Criminals would carry their cross to the place of their execution. And Christians then were persecuted by Rome and by Jewish authorities. In fact, we read of the first martyr, Stephen, in the book of Acts. And so Jesus does not hide the cost of discipleship, but he gives us two components of what that discipleship should look like in the lives of his people. It begins with self-denial. The Greek verb that's used here means generally to disown, to repudiate, to deny. And isn't it interesting? It's the same verb that's used when Peter denied Christ. Remember? Christ said to Peter, in advance, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter said, no, I won't. No way that'll ever happen. And Peter denied Christ three times that night. Even getting angrily denying, I don't know him. Who do you think you are accusing me of this? And of course, once he realized what he had done, he wept because of denying Christ. But this verb is used here in a different sense, of denying ourselves, of denying ourselves. And for every Christian here, to deny ourselves means this, saying no to yourself. Saying no to the way you used to live your life before Christ became real to you. Saying no to sinful patterns and behaviors that only tend to enslave you. Self-denial is living out the truth that because Christ died for you, you now belong to him. Remember that Heidelberg Catechism question that from time to time we put and we say, what is your only comfort in life and in death? I read this portion because it reminds us of and illustrates for us what this denial is to look like. What is your only comfort in life and in death? And the answer is that I, with body and soul, both in life and in death, and I'm not my own, but I belong to whom? To Jesus Christ, my faithful Savior, who with his precious blood has redeemed me. I'll just end it there. So that I no longer belong to myself, but I belong to Jesus Christ, my faithful Savior, who with his precious blood has redeemed me. That's laying out that denial. I'm no longer my own, okay? I'm his. I belong to him. I'm his property. He can do with me whatever he wants. And in coming under his rule and in living for him means both losing your life for Christ, and here we go, but at the same time of losing your life for Christ, you're really finding your life. You're finding your true life. You're finding your true self, your true identity. Christ says, if you want to know anything of the reality of the Christian life, then there's got to be a no to yourself because you love Jesus Christ. Francis Schaeffer would put it this way, is that the Christian life begins with an emphatic no. No to yourself. No to your sin. And without that no, there really won't be any spiritual reality. For those of us that grew up in the Christian faith reading Francis Schaeffer, he wrote a classic book called True Spirituality. And one of the great chapters in that book was called The Centrality of Death. And he means that in the Christian life, there is the centrality of death in our lives. In our Sunday school class, we went through this, and I'm not ashamed to repeat this now. Paul says in Romans 6, Because when you become a Christian, you're united to Christ. The Holy Spirit comes into your life and unites you. He brings Christ into your life. And because of that, Paul says, shall we continue in sin? That grace should abound? And Paul says, by no means at all. How can we Christians who have died to sin live in it or continue in it any longer? Wow. What a forceful statement. How can we as Christian people who have been united to Christ, and we're united to Christ, Paul says, in our baptism, we were crucified with him. But then also in his resurrection, we've also been raised to new life. How can we who have died to sin continue in it any longer? Here's that sharp negative that cuts into us. If I'm to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, I've got to say no to myself. And this doesn't mean self-hatred, not that at all. But I have to say no to those deeds of sin, to that behavior that I used to so nonchalantly do before Christ became real to me. Those sinful patterns that dominated my life before, there's no more room for them because I have been crucified with Christ, right? I have died with Christ. And I understand his love for me. And yet we are surrounded by a world that says no to nothing. In fact, to say no to something, we almost see it, the world would say to us, that's harming your self-esteem. You can't say no to anything. Billy Graham wrote one time, what Jesus says about denying yourself and bearing the cross and obedience, it's not written in fine type, but it's in bold print on the first page. Christ doesn't hide the cost of discipleship from us. Betty Scott Stamm was a missionary to China. And she composed a wonderful prayer that she kept in her Bible, in the back of her Bible. Listen to her prayer regarding her commitment to Christ at any cost, her denying of herself, her taking up her cross. Listen to what she wrote in this little prayer. She said, Lord, I give up all my own plans and purposes, all my own desires and hopes, and I accept thy will for my life. I give myself, my life, my all, utterly to you, to be yours forever. Fill me and seal me with thy Holy Spirit. Use me as you will. Send me where you will. And work out thy whole will for my life at any cost. Wow. Now and forever. End of the prayer. And the cost for Betty Scott Stamm was quite literally her life. Because it was only after a few years in China, she was martyred in 1934. Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The crosses that Jesus speaks here, they're, for the most part, they're crosses of our own making. The cross is everything large or small, trivial in our eyes or important in our eyes, in which the will of God cuts across your will. And God says, by his word, by his Spirit working in you, he says, my child, I want you to go north and south. But our stubborn will says, no, Lord, I want to go east and west. There's a cross. In every occasion, almost every day, we have an opportunity to say no to ourselves, to take up that cross, to allow His will to cross our will. I wonder what that looks like in your life. I wonder what that cross looks like in your life. The things that, where God says, I want you to go north and south, and you're refusing and you're saying, no, I'm going to go east and west. A lot of things, every day. And Jesus says, if anyone would follow me, deny yourself, take up your cross. Jesus says, do you want to be my disciple? And then you say, yes, Lord, with all my heart. And help me today, Lord, at this time, in these circumstances, to take up my cross for you. John Piper writes of discipleship as being risk-taking. Christ calls us to take risks for the kingdom. He reminds us of the book of Daniel, how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, remember those three, they were about to be thrown into the furnace if they would only bow down to the king's idol. They would avoid that. But Shadrach takes the risk. And he says to the king, oh, King, our God is able to save us, but even if he doesn't, we will not bow down to this God, to this idol of your making. In the early church, becoming a Christian was to risk your life. Because sooner or later, every Christian might have to testify to his or her faith. And that might cost them their life. And in our country, the pressure against faithful Christians and faithful churches is on the rise. And the Apostle Paul tells us what it means to be a Christian in 2 Timothy 3:12. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Now, verse 24 helps to understand verse 25 in this paradox of losing and finding your life. Because verse 25 explains verse 24. And Jesus seems to say to us there, now, if you find denial, taking up your cross, suffering, just simply too hard, Jesus says, here's my promise to you. You will find your life if you do those things. You will find your life if you live for me. And if you live for the gospel, Jesus says, I'm a king who comes to you on a cross. I'm a king who has come to die for you. And the world condemned King Jesus to the cross, but Jesus went to the cross for a different reason. He went to the cross to defeat death for you and me. John Owen wrote that wonderful little sermon, The Death of Death in the Death of Christ. The world thought they were condemning Jesus, just penalizing him for the things that he said. But Jesus went to the cross for another reason, to defeat death, to become a substitute for you and me. And he won by losing himself, by giving up power. He defeated death. And Jesus says, I am a king on a cross, and if you would follow me, then you must also take up your cross. You see, here it is. Jesus did these very things. He denied himself, Philippians 2, right? He came from heaven. He lived the life of a servant, and he was obedient even unto the death of a criminal on a cross. And he took up his cross, a cross that you and I would never have to take up. In fact, it's by looking at his cross that we understand our crosses to be those of discipleship. And Jesus says, here's the pattern. I want my people to follow after me. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. And if you do those things, if you lose your life in doing those things, then you're really going to find your life. The word for life in verse 25 is the word psuche, from which we get the word psychology. It, of course, means life or soul, but I think also in a deeper sense, it means identity, your identity, who you really are. Jesus says, if you do these things, if you lose your life, deny yourself, take up your cross, then you really find your true identity. Each culture has its own approach to identity. If you'll allow me just to kind of rehearse a few of those paths in our culture about how people find themselves. The first one goes like this: you're nobody till somebody loves you. I've got to find somebody to love me, and then I'll really find out my true identity. I mentioned this song before on a Sunday night, but that song by the Righteous Brothers, "You're My Soul and My Heart's Inspiration. You've all I got to get me by. Without you, baby, what good am I? I can't make it without you." Remember? I like that song, actually. "You're my reason for laughing, for crying, for living, for dying." Wow. Finding your identity by having somebody love you. Or here's another path in our day. You find your identity by gaining as much as you can in the world, by acquiring things, money or friends or success in a career. I think of a song that kind of encapsulates that. You know, "Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I'm going to New York. I want to find that I'm A number one, top of the list, king of the hill." The problem is when you follow that path, you lose yourself to your job. There's no redemption in that at all. But then, finally, this other little path. "I am whatever I say I am. I've got to be me. I can't have any boundaries or rules or morality." And this is a path that leads to a black hole. But Jesus says, if you want to find yourself, then you've got to lose yourself for me. I want you to have a new identity. I want you to lose yourself in me. Look at my cross and let it mold you. Look at my cross in light of your crosses. Dr. Sinclair Ferguson, in our Sunday school lesson this morning — you're getting a double dose of this if you were there, okay — taught us how Christians are actually able to deny yourself, to take up the cross. It sounds impossible, doesn't it? But Christians are able to do this because of the Spirit of God that comes to live inside of you. The Spirit creates in believers the desire to turn from sin and to live for Christ. The Spirit comes and illumines the truths of God's Word, and they become real to us. And we read them and we go, "Oh, that's what I need to do. Lord, give me the power to do that." Francis Schaeffer, in that book that I told you about, True Spirituality, he makes this terrific metaphor that applies all of this. He says that if we follow what Christ wants us to do, we follow his pattern, that we're crucified with him, that we're risen with him. But then Schaeffer says, that also means then that you become a Christian, you become a new person, and it's as though he takes you to heaven. And you're united with him there. And then he sends you back to earth to live for him. That's your identity. Imagine being around somebody that has died and has risen and has been to heaven and has come back to earth. What would that be like to be around a person like that? That's you, Christian. That's what your life should be like. And not only should that have happened at the very beginning of your life with Christ, but every day. Every day. I've been crucified with Christ. I've died. I've been raised. I'm a new person. I'm with him in the heavenlies in a spiritual sense, and he sent me back here to earth now to be his witness and to be his servant. And the paradox in verse 25 is losing is finding. There's a show called The Biggest Loser. You ever watch that show? I don't watch it a whole lot, but I thought it would be something that would help us this morning. You know, it's a show about losing weight. And there's contests between the biggest loser, the ones that has lost the most weight. And there's kind of like the before and after pictures. We should have a biggest loser contest in our church. But I'm not talking about losing pounds. We should have a contest with trophies, competitions. The biggest loser for self-denial, for taking up the cross, for losing their life for Christ's sake and for the gospel. You know how you can tell the biggest loser? Joy. Joy. The actress who played Corrie Ten Boom, her name was Julie Harris, and she was interviewed one time. And she said that the one quality that stood out about Corrie Ten Boom was joy. Corrie Ten Boom was that wonderful Christian woman who suffered in a concentration camp and witnessed for Christ all throughout that. They were put into the concentration camp by the Nazis because they were part of the Underground Railroad for Jewish men and women. And Julie Harris says the one thing about Corrie Ten Boom was the joy. She said you could see it in her face. There was a radiance to her. Did that joy come from everything working out so nicely in her life? Was it easy for her to say, yes, Lord, in those horrible situations in which she found herself? No, the joy came from denying herself and taking up the cross and saying, Lord, I'm yours. Use me. I belong to you. And the more she laid down her life for Jesus Christ, the more people saw the joy of Christ in her life. The biggest loser contest in our church would have Galatians 2:20 as its theme. For I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Then finally, this morning, take the eternal view. Look at verses 26 through 28. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and he forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? You know, I've said this before, and I'm not ashamed to repeat this to you. We really need to think long term instead of short term. You know, you're under pressure. The easiest way is to kind of compromise, and you'll have relief in the short term. But you got to think long term, because very often, the long term, things are going to get worse if you give in, if you give up, if you take the easy road out. We got to think long term. How many times in our life does that little paradigm arise? It happens all the time. Short term, long term. Think long term. What does it profit a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl? They gain the whole world, but they lose their eternal soul. It's a powerful reminder that right now counts forever. It's a powerful reminder of what John Piper writes, don't waste your life. Things that we do right now really do count forever. Let's answer those questions. What does it profit? There's no profit at all. In fact, it hurts. It's destruction. What can a man give in exchange for their soul? Can give nothing. Because the Bible says that you are a masterpiece. And you're incredibly important to God because He's made you in His image. But until Jesus Christ comes and lives in your life, you're like one of those huge ruined castles that you see over in England, in Europe. They were abandoned long ago and they're just kind of rotting away. And there should be a little sign out front that would say, built to be a castle for a king, but it's now empty. There are some things that are worth dying for. What does it profit a man? Gains the whole world but loses his soul? Things worth dying for. Living for Christ. Standing for Christ. Denying ourselves. Taking up our cross. Francis Schaeffer, our last quote this morning. A day will come when both saved and unsaved men will look upon the glorified Christ. They will see Him not merely as a religious idea, but glorified in time and in space. And by space, he means a location. May the Spirit of God take the truths of God in this passage and write them on your heart. If you're going to follow me, deny yourself. Take up your cross. Allow the will of God to cross your will. Write upon your heart, what does it profit a man or a woman or a boy or a girl if they gain the whole world, but they lose their soul? Let's pray. If there's something that you heard this day, take a moment in silence to pray through it. Lord, these things we pray in your holy name, through Jesus Christ. Amen.